The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This week, John and I go way back. We go back to the 1940s, to World War II, and talk about the first Avenger. Can't go wrong talking MCU movies. We had a lot of fun. Plenty of tangents. One time we went completely off the rails and talked Uncut Gems. Hey, that's a comic book store for you. Speaking of a comic book store, let's head into the comic book store. Hey, John, I'm back.
Always, like a rash.
There was a slight pause there, and the best you could come up with was rash?
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, I'm not the quickest on my feet, but... or really on my butt, because let's face it, I'm not standing.
No.
So.
All right, so yeah.
That's because we don't plan these things ahead of time, so.
Clearly. We're going for off the cuff.
Yeah. I couldn't handle being heckled on stage because I'm not quick enough to come back.
No, me neither. It's I know this is a funny tangent, but remember when we first started doing this podcast? We just sat there and we're like, okay, let's go. And we hit record. Right. We both got stage fright.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to say.
There was nobody around. Like, what are you afraid of? We were laughing at ourselves. Like, what are you doing? We're like, I don't know, but it's recording now.
Because it's I don't want to say it's uncomfortable, but it's an unfamiliar thing.
Yes.
So
it's like, it took us how many times to start and get going and realize you can just like, if it doesn't sound good, just don't put it out. And then eventually we're like, we've just got to put something out because we keep recording stuff.
Yeah. Cause we've got a half a dozen of them in the bank that we're never going to put out. So
no, I wouldn't call
obviously it,
a it bank.
Took us at least 6 weeks to come up with something. It's workable. and I would argue even that it was workable when we put it out. So
no. Anyways.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't in the news or anything like that, but I saw a release date for, you know, the new Christopher Nolan movie, Tenet?
Tenet? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're saying.
Well, have they moved it? Because it was supposed to be August.
No, actually, it's July.
Or July, rather.
Right.
Yeah, July.
And it's not a comic movie or anything like that. I love Christopher Nolan movies, but
yeah,
the reason I bring it up is it is still slated for July 17th, I believe. It's the 17th. And what I like about that is, like, that makes me feel better that we're going to get Wonder Woman in August, which is...
Well, right, because that's what was going to push it.
Oh,
like,
really?
If this movie gets pushed, yeah, this movie is the one that's going to cause Wonder Woman to move.
Okay.
Because if this one gets pushed another month or more, then Wonder Woman's going to get moved. Because this is, I guess, the first big release that they want to come back with.
Tenet?
So, yeah.
Tenet?
So, we'll have to see what happens. But I was just scrolling through Facebook, like literally right now, and Cinemark looks like they're announcing their opening date. I've since scrolled way past it, so I couldn't tell you what it is, but I would imagine it's pretty soon. But I also was reading earlier today that AMC now is having doubts whether they'll even reopen. Because, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about them being in big financial trouble, and this extended shutdown, they might not come back.
Right.
So that would be a huge thing. And would obviously be a big blow to these movies because AMC is a huge theater chain. And, you know, not having a bunch of theaters to show this movie in is definitely going to hamper its box office. So we'll see. Like, I still personally think it's really a long shot that they won't come back. They're just too big of a company for me to see them going away.
Well,
altogether, but
they might not come back as exactly what they were, but the buildings will be that maybe somebody else will, it'll be called something else. Like somebody,
well, somebody,
will
what, somebody would have to step in, and, but
as far as we would see, it would like, it would be almost like business as usual, but I mean, yeah, that would be
tough.
Yeah,
but who has the, yeah, who would be able to come in and do that right away? Like nobody's like booming right now. So it's not like Cinemark would say, hey, let me go buy 1,000 theaters right now because we have all this extra money.
Well, I did hear a rumor last week, somebody talking about, I think it was in a podcast, about like Amazon buying up or something. And like, how would that change the landscape? Because they're into video on demand, but then
that was the last rumor. Yeah. That was what was going to save them, was the fact that Amazon was looking to buy them. But now if that doesn't happen, then they go back to being in, you know, big financial trouble. The other part of it is too, and I, you know, this isn't a tangent that we should really get on because we don't know that much about it, but like if they're doing that bad, well, like if AMC is doing that badly, how could Cinemark or one of the other chains be doing that well? You know what I mean? Like they all basically run on the same margins and show the same movies.
Right.
So if one chain is doing that bad, they can't all be doing that much better. Like they're probably all in the same financial trouble as AMC is in. So, you know, their overhead is very similar. So it can't be that different.
It depends on the business model, I guess. But I don't know.
Right.
I have no idea. Like you said, we don't know. But
well, that's what I'm saying. We don't know enough
us before
to speak intelligently about it. And like I said, I know that's never stopped me.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to be speaking intelligently on this stuff?
That's okay. I really don't know that I ever do that, but I try to at least know a little bit about what I'm talking about. So,
a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we don't have any.
The minimum.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have any books to talk about from last week because we didn't have any FOCs to comment on.
Right.
So are you ready just to get right into Captain America, the First Avenger?
Sure.
All righty. Well, let's play this trailer and we'll have some comments.
All right.
Rogers, Steven.
Just give me a chance.
Sorry, son.
I'm saving your life.
General Patton has said that wars are fought with weapons, but they are won by men.
You just don't know when to give up, do you?
I could do this all day.
Our goal is to create the greatest army in history.
I should be going with you.
Look, I know you don't think I can do this.
This isn't a back alley, Steve. It's war.
But every army begins with one man.
5 tries in 5 different cities.
I can offer you a chance.
He will be the first in a new breed of super soldiers.
Why me?
Because weak men lose a value of strength, lose a value of power.
That wasn't so bad.
That was penicillin.
We are going to win this war because we have the best men.
Now, Mr. Stark.
Nay. Personally, escort Adolf Hitler to the gates of hell.
How do you feel?
Tommy.
Your task won't be simple.
Who the hell are you?
The first of many.
Your enemy is not what you expect.
How you do this?
This is why you've been chosen.
What do you think?
I think it works.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was actually good. It had a lot of good information. A lot of Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
Like,
who I kind of forgot was even in the movie, to be honest with you, till I watched it again.
Right. So. He's not in it as much as he is in the trailer.
Right.
Like, I think those were all his scenes in the trailer. It's like all his lines, which I mean, he was great in the movie. It's, you know, that crotchety old man that he was playing. Another week you know, here we go. But, you know, we did Hugo Weaving last week, another week with another Hugo Weaving movie.
Right.
I don't, is he going to be in next week's too? Now that I think of it.
Well, we could do Lord of the Rings, but.
No, yeah, no, he's, I don't think he is. So yeah, before we start getting into all the characters and stuff like that or whatever we chit chat about, what'd you think of this movie when it was coming out? Like before it came out, were you looking forward to this? What were your thoughts?
Oh, for sure. I mean, by then we were, you know, 3 years or so into the MCU. So we had had, I think, all the Iron Man movies, right? By then.
Two of them.
And
yep.
Two out of the three. Thor had come out. And then we were a year away from the Avengers. So, yeah, by the time this movie came out, you know, we knew about the Avengers. And, you know, we were definitely looking forward. Well, I say we. I was definitely looking forward
we
to
were.
This.
Yeah, this was obviously this was the fifth movie, but I think I mean at this point we were like eyeballs deep into the MCU. We knew an MCU existed by now.
Right.
Thor had come out in May, and then this
just
came out in July. Right.
Yeah.
So this was like the first big year for the MCU too. Two movies in 1 year. In 2011, actually in 2008 we had two movies as well, but we didn't know what an MCU was then. It was just was just two Marvel movies coming out, which is tough to imagine now, huh? That you think back to like, oh look, Iron Man, that's cool, and then
a time when we didn't right,
yeah, and you weren't
we
like
know
tying it
what
together.
This was going to be, yeah,
but yeah, I was really looking forward to this as well. All right, next question: how did it age for you?
It for me, it aged very well. So here's the thing, you know, because we've talked about this before. I go years between viewings of these movies. I can't tell you the last time I watched this movie. So watching it last night was like watching a new movie again. You know, it's like I don't, as much as I, you know about comics and these movies or, you know, Marvel and all that, like I don't know these movies inside and out because I don't watch them
right.
repeatedly. So for me, it was kind of like watching it almost like I said, I forgot Tommy Lee Jones was in the movie. It was kind of like watching it over again for the first time. Now, I mean, obviously I knew how it was going to end and things like that, but for me, it aged very well. I mean, I liked it then and I liked it just as much now. I mean, it doesn't have as much age on it as some of the other ones we've done. So
right.
it hasn't, it's not like we've outgrown the technology that much, although, you know, I do have to say Skinny Steve in the beginning, he's like, they would do that better now. You know, he did stand out a little bit. And for some reason, I feel like they should have changed the voice. Like it really felt off to me when he spoke, you know, because the voice didn't match the guy we saw on screen. You know, it's like this little wimpy. Really, I think it was like a 13-year-old with his head superimposed on there. But he's got this like man's voice,
Can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yeah.
So you knew me when I was growing up, and you knew me in high school, and
yeah,
my wife, who's 4'10", like the beginning of junior year, she was taller than me. By the end of junior year, I had grown to like 5. I'm like 6 feet now, but I was like 5 something by the end of junior year. By the end of senior year, I was full height. But at the beginning of junior year, like I said, my wife was roughly like my height. So I was like 4'10", but my voice had changed.
Yeah.
And the only reason I remember is we'd gone into art class junior year, and one of the girls in our class she was a senior, and she said hi to me. She goes, "Hey, DJ." And I was like, "Hey." And she was like, "What?" She's like, "Oh my gosh." She's like, "Your voice changed over the summer." And I was like, "It did." Because I never did the Peter Brady thing. You're always expecting the... Ooh.
Exactly, when it's time to change.
Right, exactly. I never did like, that. So it's funny you say that, like his voice should be different, but it's like I was small, like probably his size there. Well, actually, they said he's 90 pounds soaking wet. I was probably like 75 pounds in high school.
Right.
So it's like, and my voice had changed to what you hear now, which I'm not saying I have like this big, deep, manly voice, but I don't talk like a little boy, you know?
Yeah. No. Yeah. And like I said, I don't think I ever noticed it before.
Right.
But for some reason, when I was watching it last night, I was like, it just feels funny. Like it just doesn't seem like that voice should be coming out of that.
Yeah.
That body.
Yeah. It never fazed me. I was like, no, that seems right to me.
But yeah, I don't know. I really like, this is one of my favorites. You know, going into these movies, Captain America, I wouldn't have ever said was one of my favorite characters. You know, they talk about Superman being the big Boy Scout. To me, Captain America is even more. And I found, quite honestly, very uninteresting growing up reading any of his comics. I really wasn't a big fan. But he turns out to be really, I think, my favorite character through the MCU, you know?
Right.
I mean, and a lot of that is Chris Evans, of course, and the way he was written. But I really liked this movie. I've gone on record multiple times saying that I think Winter Soldier is the best of the MCU. And I still really believe that. Like, I think his series of three movies, you know, of course, the third movie is really just Avengers 2.5.
Right.
But
yeah.
But his trilogy of movies to me is by far the best of all of them. Iron Man 1 is great, but 2 and 3 were a little bit less so.
Yeah.
You know, Thor 1 was good, 2 was 3 was great. But all three Captain America movies to me were all very solid movies, so.
Yeah. I agree with you. I have the same idea of Captain America growing up. It's like in the comics, I read very few actual Captain America comics, but I loved when he showed up in other comics.
Yeah, he would be right, same thing.
He commanded
I didn't read his
a ton
ongoing
of respect
title
wherever he showed up.
Always, yes, you know? Always he did.
And that's what
really, because he's their Superman,
right?
You know, I mean, in he always does what's right. Sometime even to his own detriment or the detriment of others, you know, but he's always going to do what's right and speak the truth and hold that high moral standard. And until he joined Hydra, you know, and then all bets were off. But
that, like, when he showed up, like, remember back in the other day we were talking about the Daredevil, Zdarsky's run, and we had, you know, and early on in that, we had a superhero show up that was like, oh. And that's what Captain America was like that for me when he showed up in a book. You would, like, you'd turn the page, and if he was standing there, you were like, wow, all right, cool, you know. And but yeah, you're right. It's like the I didn't really read a ton of, I knew his origin. I didn't read a ton of it, but I love what they've done in the movie. Right. I love, like you said, like with, you know, Chris Evans and the writing, it's really taken it to another level, but it doesn't. I mean, unfortunately for the character, it doesn't make me run out and want to read all Captain America books.
No, same here. Like, I still feel like the comic version is less interesting than the movie version. Although I loved all the callbacks in this movie. Like, to me, this one had the most callbacks to the old comics. Like, the costume that he wears when he's in the USO.
Yeah.
Even with the, like, the like the triangular shield.
Yeah, the
or,
older,
you know, whatever,
shield that's not
whatever
round.
Whatever that shape
but
is.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it definitely goes back to the 1940s version of the character. Even with the, you know, because in the 40s, his helmet was a helmet. Like, it wasn't a suit that was all attached like it is later on. And like I said, that costume that he wears is right off the page. When they cut to the scene with all the kids reading the comics after, you know, he starts to become popular. Like, that's the cover. Like, we kind of bagged on Superman a few weeks ago for showing the beginning of the movie
and
action,
it's the wrong
comics,
comic.
but not using an actual cover.
Right.
Whereas this was a famous Captain America cover. It's not from his first appearance, I don't think, but it's the most famous cover where he's punching Hitler.
Yes.
You know, out. And they use that cover in this movie. And in his USO show, they have him punching out Hitler. So to me, they paid a lot of respect to the Kirby and Joe Simon version of Captain America from the 40s. And I don't think any of these other movies really did that. Like Iron Man, you know, his costume when he breaks out of the cave is very similar, obviously, to his first appearance costume. But when you go to the other movie, like Thor, like I don't remember Thor doing anything specifically to pay tribute to those old comics, or Guardians, which I wouldn't know if they did or they didn't, to be honest with you, because I didn't read a lot of Guardians. But to me, this had the most, and I really enjoyed picking up on all those little things, because I think they did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I thought even the they did a good job at doing an homage to the artwork in that, like the tanks and the in the equipment they used were that oversized, the Nazi tanks and stuff, like right. they were in the comics. Like the scene when he comes over the tank with his motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it's like, the tank's huge. It's bigger than a building. And it's like, that to me was like out of the comics. Like I remember like the things were huge. They were, bigger than life. And
right.
And the tank treads were as big as a, as a house. And I thought they did a good job of that in this movie. And it actually worked in the movie. It's not like you sat there and went, that looks ridiculous. It just, it really worked.
Yeah. Although I will say one thing that bothered me a little bit is, like, they had way too much technology for 1942. Like, all the Hydra stuff where they're using, like, basically supercomputerized, like, mechanized things.
Well, I thought that's what
things.
The idea was, is they were advanced.
Yeah, but they shouldn't have been that, far advanced, I don't think. I was like, I kept commenting to my wife, I was like, man, they have a lot of technology for 1942. It's like, we can barely do some of that stuff now, you know?
Right, but that's what I mean. I thought that was the point of the movie, though, is that they were getting their technology off of the Tesseract, and then what ends up happening is obviously Stark gets it when he gets the Tesseract. Obviously, they take the Hydra weapons. Stark gets a hold of those. Then he gets the Tesseract. So now we have the technology, and that's where S.H.I.E.L.D. ends up developing their stuff.
Right.
But know what I mean?
He already had floating cars in 1942.
That's a few years away, John.
Yeah. And again, I know, I get it, it's comics. Like, I get all that, but I was like, I don't know, for some reason, I don't remember ever really having it bother me before, but for some reason when I was watching it, I was like, man, they're pretty advanced for 1942. So.
Well, right, but that was the special division. And
right.
it's like, even to the point, I know it's comic books and everything, like you're saying, but if you wanted to put it in like a real world terms, it's like they had the tech, they lost the tech, and Schmidt, Red Skull, ends up getting taken away, right? So he's the one developing the tech. Everything's gone, and we actually, what was it, Dr. Erskine? No, that was Tucci. Well, he died.
Yeah, Zola, Dr. Zola.
Zola. Ends up coming over, they capture him and we use him. So you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like they didn't have the, like you're saying, like in real world, like nobody had this back then. Well, it was private and then it switched hands.
And so, like I said, if you want, nobody was making super soldiers either. So, I mean, I get it. Like, it's a funny thing for me to fixate on because
that's
like,
what
there's
you
so
do.
Much. Right. I mean, none of it's believable. So, I mean, let's just get that out there now. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like, with the serum a little bit, but that all that technology was like a little bit over the top.
Right. So. And I see what you're saying, but I actually thought that was the point of the movie. It's like, so that's all I'm saying. But speaking of Schmidt dying, we'll just jump right to that. I know it's the end of it. Yeah. When we first saw this movie, like, we thought he died.
Yeah, we didn't know he was coming back.
But now, having seen all of the different Thor movies and seeing what the Tesseract does, and then having that character, Red Skull character, show back up in Infinity War and Endgame, it's like, seeing that scene now, it's like, why did we think he died? Because he doesn't die. He just, like, he gets sucked away by the Tesseract. Like, ported to some other place. And it's super obvious now.
Well, yeah, but again, that all comes with hindsight.
Right. Oh, I know.
Because we know what happens. We can fill things in more because we know the end. Whereas when we saw this the first time, or even, like the second time, we didn't. Really, when we saw this any time prior to 2018... We didn't know what happened to him, so.
Right, but we should have, because we'd seen the Thor, that's what I mean, like, we'd seen the Thor movies, and they use the Tesseract to travel. It's like, that's supposed to be the bridge.
I don't know.
At the end of the Avengers, they actually use the Tesseract. Remember, Loki and Thor turn it, and then they go away. They're holding onto it each other, and then, that's when they're all gathered there in New York, and then they take off. So they actually use the Tesseract to leave.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess
we should have been putting it together before.
But we had put them out of our mind by then, I guess. Right. You know what I mean? I think we just weren't thinking about it.
But does that, like, this is movie five. So does that mean that they wrote that in on purpose? Like, they didn't kill him. They actually ported him out with the Tesseract, and they obviously brought him back. What?
Well, that's the thing.
15 movies later?
I've talked about that before. Like, I don't know how much of it was pre-thought out and how much of it was done after the fact. They're like, oh, well, we can use this because we did this. I don't know that it was all necessarily planned out in advance. I think some of it had to have been. But again, the idea that in 2011, they were planning on what they were going to do in 2018 might be a little far-fetched. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I think some of it's opportunistic because they go back and watch and figure out a way to use what they did. And some of it obviously had to have been planned out. So, like, I don't know if they knew at the time that they were going to bring him back as with the Soul Stone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because who knows that if they even knew they were going to get there at that point.
Well, that's what, I mean, when we talked Iron Man, I would agree. Because I don't think they had a plan when they did Iron Man. They had an idea, and it was like, if this works out, we could do this. But I think by now, in 2011, where you have Thor coming out a few months earlier, this movie, the way it's written, and if you watch the end credit scene, it's just a commercial, really, for Avengers.
Right, it was.
Their roadmap was probably pretty well laid out at that point.
But again, for movie, maybe up to movie 10, like, I still don't know, even at that point, yes, they had had four successful movies, but I still don't know that they were necessarily planning for movie number 20. You know what I mean? It's like, it still was they were a long way off from knowing they were going to be that successful. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, like, yeah. No, I'm just,
I just don't know how far in advance they planned.
That's what's so all funny. It's out. Like you look at these things and it's like you just threw out like movie 10. That was Guardians.
Right.
And it's like, but it's like, that was only, 3 years later.
Yeah.
So then it's like, but you just throw these. It's so funny because we could, I mean, we're talking Captain America here, but every time we talk about these movies, it's like we go over the whole MCU because it really is that amazing what they've been able to web.
It's still incredible.
The web they've created here that is still going on. Obviously, we're waiting for Black Widow, which will be in November, and then hopefully all this will ramp back up. But it's, all of this stuff is so intertwined that now we're really having a hard time. Hopefully they do a documentary on how this happened. And like,
yeah, because honestly now, like you said, or what I think you were going to say is, it's hard to untangle one movie from the whole.
Right.
You know, like, you can't talk about this movie without referencing now the entire MCU, because we've had it all. You know, it'd be interesting to see what our show would have sounded like in 2011 if we were talking about this when it came out, and we still didn't know everything that was ahead of us. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's so much easier to look back than it is to look ahead. But, cause even for us, like, at this point, we had a couple of Iron Man movies and Thor and this, and I still don't think we knew what we were in for, you know?
No, it's we like never imagined.
There was no way for us to predict. What was going to happen.
Nope.
And like you said, they had to have been planning for some part of the future because these movies came out so rapidly. Like, they didn't just come up with the idea and have a movie 6 months later. So obviously they were planning, but I just don't know that they were already planning for movie number 20 or 21 back then, because that's still just assuming a lot is going to go right, and you never can judge how that's going
to
be.
The thing to me is, this is where I think the roadmap, like, Captain America is obviously, he's a staple. I mean, he's an icon. You have Captain America, you have Iron Man, and after that, it's now you have, you know, secondary characters that would be, you know, obviously Thor is the next one in line, Hulk.
Right.
And then, I mean, of the original Avengers, you have Black Widow and Hawkeye. But then you get into like Ant-Man and then Ant-Man and the Wasp. And you're like, those are the ones that I think that maybe weren't on the roadmap, but they were like, they got bolder as they went on.
Yeah.
But Captain America, they knew we needed to do this. This needed to be successful. This is one of the tent poles of this entire thing.
Yeah, I think they knew that they were never going to get to the Avengers if they didn't do Captain America right. Because, I mean, he is the leader of the Avengers, right? Like, he has to be there.
Right.
So I think there's no question that that movie's going to get made. You know, like you said, to your point, you could do without Ant-Man. And, like, you could take Ant-Man out and have any other character do the things that he did.
Right.
And these movies all still would have been the same. So some of them were plug and play, but you had to have your core. Like, you had to have Iron Man, Captain America, Thor. Like, that's the core of the Avengers, you know. So I think they had to have those done right. I mean, that's the Trinity for Marvel, you know, as opposed to, you know, DC with their big three. Now, Spider-Man obviously is
probably their most
important character, but he wasn't crucial to the Avengers. He's, you know, been in and out of the team, you know, over the years, but he's never really been associated with the Avengers. So you can do without him, but you can't do without Cap, you know, Cap and Thor and Iron Man. They have to be there. And really the Hulk.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. With they built this franchise around those characters and left out like Marvel's biggest character. Now,
right.
You're right. He's not necessarily an Avenger. He had popped in and out, but for them, for the MCU, this is where we get into the, you know, the DC talk and be like, they tried to do it where they brought in all their biggest characters, which we talked about a few weeks ago. And that's what seemed to be like, that's why they failed or didn't do as well, I should say.
Right.
And they built everything around, as we said to start this out, like Captain America, not exactly the biggest character, not the boldest character that the world is like, oh, I love this character. But they turned him into that.
Right.
Which is huge. I mean, I don't think it's as big a jump as what they did with Guardians, but it's still a pretty big leap.
He was still definitely, he was firmly in the B character range for sure.
High B.
So was Iron Man.
But yeah, exactly.
So was Iron Man. And Thor, really, for that matter. You know, none of them were really A-listers. You know, and again, it's no small thing that back then, you know, they still don't, but they didn't have the rights to Spider-Man. And at that point, really didn't have the deal or the pull in place to be able to bully Sony into letting them use them, you know?
Right.
So that obviously, I'm sure, factored into their plans. Because in 2011, if they had the rights to Spider-Man, they would have figured out how to put him in the Avengers. You know, they just couldn't use him. So
if you say and I agree with you, is it Captain America, Iron Man, B characters? I have an idea of one other than Spider-Man.
Well, I was going to say, they really only have one A character, and that's Spider-Man.
Right. And when I say A characters, I'm saying something. It's like you have Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. We're only one DC, Marvel so far.
Right.
And then after that, what do you got? The next closest, I would have said Wolverine.
Yeah. Well, he is. Like, Wolverine.
That's the next most iconic Marvel character.
Right. Just in sheer terms of popularity, is an A-list character for sure. I think Spider-Man and Wolverine are Marvel's two tentpole characters. And like you said, the other ones are all, like you said, high Bs maybe. You know, Captain America certainly not an unknown. But I think the Avengers is more, like the Avengers team is maybe A-list, but yet all the sum of its parts don't equal.
Right.
They're all kind of Bs. But like, if you were going to talk about like the big franchises for Marvel Comics back in the day, it would have been like Spider-Man, the X-Men as a team.
Right.
But not necessarily any of the individuals. And I would say the Avengers would be the same thing. Whereas if you shift over to DC, you'd say Superman, Batman, and Justice League, you know, are kind of like, but you would never say Green Lantern or Green Arrow were A-list characters.
No.
Or The Flash or you know, any of those others. So I think the sum of the parts make it more than what the parts are.
Right. So let's get back to this actual movie.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the scene, or you mentioned the CGI that they used for Steve Rogers to be smaller, for, you know, Chris Evans to be smaller. You said that, like, yeah, they could probably do that better now. But at the time, that was
that was
awesome.
Right.
We were blown away by that. And I've, over the years, have you looked into seeing how they did it? And, like,
I'm sure there was quite a bit to it, though.
Yeah. The way they shot it, they did it a bunch of different ways, but
because he plays a chunk of the movie. It's not like this, you see the one scene where you get a young Robert Downey Jr., but that's like one little scene. Like, this was a good third of the movie.
Yeah.
And he played, and obviously wasn't a bit character. Like, he was front and center on screen for a good 35, 40 minutes. So it's pretty amazing. And I don't really know how they did it.
So what they did is, well, they filmed it with a stand-in, but they also filmed it with just like Chris Evans there.
Right.
But when they filmed it with Chris Evans, they had markings, like the people that were talking to him were supposed to look at like at his chin.
Yeah.
Because he was going to be shorter. And then he would have to look at over the, like at their forehead or at the top of their head. And, or they would be on boxes and stuff, but they filmed these scenes multiple times. And I thought it was really like how painstaking it is. And that's the part about acting that you don't understand and you don't appreciate because it's not that they get the scene. It's that they get the scene that many times.
Right.
Because like, so they filmed it. Like, so for instance, the scene where he has the drink with Stanley Tucci, they filmed that scene where both of them are sitting there. Then they also filmed the scene where Stanley Tucci does all his lines with a stand-in, a little guy. Then Stanley Tucci has to do the scenes without anybody there because there was another way they were going to do it where it's like, we're going to superimpose it to where, you know, so we needed the background. So Stanley Tucci had to do that scene over and over and acted because they edited it all different ways. But the graphics, I think what they ended up doing is they actually took Chris Evans and they just like CGI'd him and shrunk him and manipulated it. And then on different, like, lying down scenes, they used the body double and put his face on top of it.
Right.
So, but there was a ton of stuff, like, just to get all of that. It was just, and at times, we're watching it going, did he lose weight?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shrink.
Exactly. And shrink.
Well, because you see, like, Christian Bale goes so, like, method with his acting, but it's all him.
Right.
But there's no way, like, you can get skinny, but you can't get short.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
So.
Exactly. And they leaned into that in the movie, too, where he's like, I'm tall. I feel taller.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
The funniest thing is, like, you know, the scene where he goes through his big transformation, when he comes out of that container.
Yeah.
I'm watching it with Lydia, and she goes, that's impossible. And I'm like, what? She goes, the pants wouldn't still fit. And I'm thinking,
she never
like,
seen the
that's
Hulk?
What's it? But I'm like, that's what's impossible. Like,
right.
All the rest of it's fine, but his pants.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you're right because the waist.
Right.
There's no way they weren't stretch pants, but although they did make them shorter. Like when he's running down the street, they're upper. You know, they look like capri pants. But it just was funny. And you know, we both laughed for a second. But I'm like, out of all of that. That's what's unbelievable is the pants.
John, welcome to my world when I sit down with you.
Well, yeah. That's true. She was me.
She was playing the role of you.
Yeah. Like, and I was playing you.
That's what you find? Yeah. Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
That's what you find unbelievable?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's funny. But yeah, the Hulk does the same thing.
Well, he does.
He grows, then shrinks, and the pants
are
still good.
What's funny is, like, but the pants rip in other places, but the waist is somehow always fine.
Apparently, he blows out the ankles.
Yeah.
Because they're always, like, tattered at the bottom.
Yep. And the knees, like, the knees and the calves are all blown out, but the waist still fits.
Yeah, the waist is, yeah. So let's go over a few of these characters.
All right.
Chris Evans. You ever in, was there ever a doubt he was going to be awesome? A
little bit, because he was coming. Well, I mean, we had seen him as Human Torch, and he was great, you know, funny. You know, that was a good role for him, I think, but it was kind of, I don't know. I mean, I had a little doubt because, it's not like we were super familiar with him, you know what I mean? Like, at the time, I don't know what else he had done besides Fantastic Four, but that's definitely what we knew him for. Like, he had that one movie, the cell phone movie or something. I can't remember what it was called, but, I mean, he had done another kind of action movie, but I don't think he was really known for that. I definitely don't recall, you know, having seen him in a bunch of things. I didn't necessarily think he was going to be bad, but I thought it was a weird choice given that he had already been the Human Torch, which, you know, even though it wasn't a Marvel movie, it's still a Marvel character and Marvel property. So.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't super worried about it, but I think I had a little bit of hesitation because of him already having that other role. But, I mean, he killed it, obviously. Now there's no other thought of anybody else being Captain America.
Yeah, see, I don't think I had any doubts because I thought, well, first off, I wasn't like that invested in the character that I would be upset anybody.
Yeah,
right.
That's probably true, right?
So it's not like I'm like, he could never be him. Who's Captain America? Blah.
Like, right.
You know. So not that I thought Chris Evans was blah, because like you said, playing Johnny Storm, I thought he'd be that's not Captain America. You know, he's too brash.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So maybe I was like, oh, all right. But I thought he looked the part.
He definitely looks the part.
You know, yeah. Even before he had bulked up, because he was never this big as what he got.
No, even as Johnny Storm, he wasn't this big. And I guess kind of now knowing what we know now, because we talked a few weeks ago, or I don't know, a little while ago, about how John Krasinski was it really the number one choice for Captain America for a long time. And, you know, how now it's unfathomable that he would ever have that role over Chris Evans. But if it had gone that way, like, what would we think about his, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what obviously we wouldn't have known any different. But
well, it would have been the same writing.
It would have been the same writing, but obviously different acting, though. And again, I like John Krasinski a lot, but and I guess it's hindsight now because it's hard to picture anybody else doing it. But like in the casting room, like I don't know what anybody saw that had him number two for a while. You know what I mean?
Well, he turned it down 3 times. I read that Chris Evans turned it down 3 times.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if maybe they were, you know, John Krasinski was like, all right, well, you're going to turn it down. We'll go with this. And then he finally took it. And
well, obviously
I don't know.
Was high on their list then if they gave him the opportunity to turn it down.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
they obviously kept knocking. And really, I guess they came knocking a fourth time because it took a fourth time for him to say yes.
Yeah, you're right.
So.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe he wasn't ever number two to begin with. Maybe he was always number one. But they weren't sure they were going to get him, so they had a contingency plan with John Krasinski. But I know it went far enough that Chris Hemsworth did some part, you know, did some reading with Krasinski for, you know, for America. So yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know
so
that.
He went pretty deep into it. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I can't remember necessarily having
doubts,
too many feelings about it one way or the other. All I just know that it seemed odd to me because he had played Johnny Storm.
Right.
But like you said, to your point, I wasn't super invested in Captain America anyway. Even though I knew that he was going to be, I knew the character would be the most important one for the Avengers going forward. Like, I always knew that because, like I said, he's the, when you think of the Avengers, you think of Captain America. You don't ever think of anybody else. So I knew they had to get it right.
Yeah. And obviously they did because now that's all you can think. And you want it. After Endgame, all you wanted was, is he going to be in another one? Because you want him back. We want all these characters back. They did such a good job with them.
I think at some point we will get them back, but I don't think we're going to get these actors back, you know.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. Well, it is. And again, it's just my thinking. You know, we all know how that turned out with the Snyder Cut. So, you know, if we've proven anything is that money talks, right? Like – He can say all he wants that he's not interested in coming back as Captain America because he has said it multiple times. But we all know how that money truck works, and you know, when he has to make a payment, when he has to make a payment on his vacation house, or he needs a new vacation house, and Marvel comes knocking, you know,
yeah,
it's hard to turn that down. You know, and their excuse is that, you know, you have to stay in obviously peak condition to do these movies, and now that he's not doing them, he can let himself go a little bit. But I mean, I just watched Defending Jacob, and he still looks like freaking Captain America in that movie. So
yeah,
or that TV show. So it's not like he's exactly let himself go. He could be in fighting shape pretty quickly if he had to be.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and it's I saw that that show too. That's a rough show to get through.
It was rough, but I actually liked it. Although
I liked it too.
Did you finish it?
Yep.
Yeah, I was a little discontent with the ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just wanted a little more out of it. To me, it left a little bit too much vague.
Right.
But really too good show overall. I mean, yeah, and it was rough to watch, but it was really good.
I had one of my listeners from home theater told me that he had just finished Uncut Gems. Mm. And he's like, good movie.
But I didn't like it.
You need to, he's like, I needed to watch Rick and Morty to try and detox because it was really rough. Joe Sard, he told me the same thing.
Yeah, Lydia, really, she wanted me to turn it off. Like, she didn't even want to finish it. She's like, this is giving me too much anxiety. I don't want to watch it anymore.
And I said the same thing about Defending Jacob. I was like, when that ended, I'm like, I gotta go watch a couple episodes of Chuck to like cheer myself up and detox from this, because they're difficult shows.
That Uncut Gems is rough to get through, and I ultimately I don't think I liked it that much, but it was definitely interesting.
Hey, see, good Chris Evans talk here. Not that he's in Uncut Gems, but
no, but. He does other things.
Moving on. Tommy Lee Jones. I think they cast him as a big name. Probably the biggest name in this movie, right? Other than
I would say so, yeah.
Hugo Weaving would be like, that's the guy.
And but he's not a household name.
No,
yeah,
he wasn't.
I mean, we know him from iconic movies, obviously, The Matrix and Lord of the Rings.
I remember telling everybody in this going, that's the guy from The Matrix, because you're like, oh, it is.
If you asked anybody what the actor's name is, most of them couldn't tell you. You know, they just go, oh, it's the guy from The Matrix.
Right. You know? Exactly. But that's what I mean. So Tommy Lee Jones, and that's, you know, he's very, very limited role in this movie, but very prominent in the trailer. So bringing credibility to, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, we're going to show him a ton, and then you're not going to see that. or that is all of it. But I thought like I said earlier, I thought he was great. I thought he did the, you know, the old crotchety old man routine perfectly.
He did.
And it's like, you know, he's still too small. He's making, my favorite was like, he's making me cry. Stanley Tucci, he was awesome.
Really good. Yep.
Yeah.
He's always good though. He's one of those character actors that, like, he's never had a breakout starring role that I can think of, but
no,
he's always
great supporting actor.
Yeah, he's always good in everything.
Sebastian Stan as Bucky, I still really don't. Is he a big star now? I mean, he's in the MCU and everybody knows him.
Yeah, he's
Bucky.
Not right. Like, what? I don't know him from. I don't know that he's done anything else. I don't think I've seen him in anything else besides this. I think he was a little. I love him in the movie, don't get me wrong, but I think he was a little miscast as Bucky, because if you go back to the comics, Bucky is like a 13-year-old kid, or, you know, he's not an adult. So, like, when I think of Bucky, that's, you know, what I picture.
Okay.
But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bucky was always a kid, in the comics. I mean, obviously he grew up over time, but, you know, in the early comics with Captain America and Bucky, he was always a young kid. So that's what I envisioned Bucky to be. But, you know, again, in knowing what we know now with what he was going to become, you know, obviously the casting was great and it makes a lot of sense. But yeah, definitely not a big star, because like I said, I don't think I've ever seen him do anything besides Bucky.
I've seen him in some other thing. I can't think of what it is. I've seen him since then. I didn't know who he was at the time.
No.
But I think I've seen, like, I'm like, oh, hey, that's him. Yeah, I can't think of what it is. But I know I have had that thought. But what I would say about him is early on in this movie, it's fun to see what he becomes. Like, we now know, like you said, we now know what he becomes. And, you know, the Winter Soldier and the entire arc that he has. And seeing him in the beginning and seeing him in the his army uniform in the alley when he when he saves, you know, Steve Rogers from getting beat up. And you're like, that's going to be, you know, the Winter Soldier with the long hair and the, you know, the
metal arm. And
yeah, the metal arm, but almost like in a little bit absent-minded because he doesn't remember his past and everything. But here he's all put together. He's in the army uniform and it's like just knowing what he's going to become. I thought that was, it was kind of fun to see. And I want to say remember back, but it's like remember forward to what he's going to become. And I thought it was really cool. And Haley Atwell.
I was going to say, you're saving the best for last or what?
Yeah, yeah.
Love her. So yeah. I don't know what else we need to say there.
Yeah. She was great.
I mean, I don't know for sure. Obviously, she wasn't a character I ever remember from the comics. I almost don't even know if they wrote her into the comics after this movie. Like, she might have been created for this movie. I don't really know. I'd be lying if I said I did. But obviously, she's appeared in the comics since then, but and she probably had before. But like I said, I wasn't a big comic Captain America reader, so she might have existed before. But she could have been one of those characters that was created for the movie and then retconned back into the comics afterwards.
Maybe. I don't know either. Have you ever watched her show?
Well, Peggy, I was going to say, what really stood out to me after watching this movie is that I wanted to go back and watch Agent Carter again.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I really, I can't believe you never watched it.
No, it's on my list of like shows to watch in the morning, like, cause I always watch a show in the morning.
I really liked it. I mean, obviously it didn't do very well.
And, what is it? A season?
It got canceled. I think it got two seasons, but not full. They weren't long seasons. Like, I think it was one of those shows that, if I'm not mistaken, season one was just like a 6-episode arc or something. Like, I don't think it was super long, but it was really her and, Howard Stark. I mean, that same actor that played Howard was in that show. And it was more of a spy show. I mean, she referenced knowing Captain America in the show, but it wasn't a superhero show at all. Like, it was really a spy show.
Right.
But I really liked it. Now, again, it could just be because I'm a big fan of Haley Atwell, but I thought it was good. I was a little sad when they canceled it. But yeah, it surprises me that you didn't watch it, though, knowing how big you are into all the Marvel stuff.
No, I saw the first episode. I wanted to see the first episode. I watched that, and then I never followed it up. And then I was like, oh, I'll watch it later. I'll watch it later. We taped them all or recorded them all, you know? And then I just never got around to it. And now it's like they're all there on Disney Plus, so I'll watch them. But yeah, season one is 8 episodes.
Okay.
And then season 2 is 10 episodes.
Yeah, so it's not a ton.
No. No, but it's one. I mean, like I said, when I get around to, like, I'm out of shows to watch in the morning, that's one that I'll put on. It's fun. Because I did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Remember, I had done live. I watched seasons 1 and most of 2. And then I just binge watched it. Now season, 7 or 8 is coming out soon. I don't know. Yeah, now with track. Everything, but
I lost track because I think I've stopped at season 5.
Yeah, I'm all caught up. I binge watched my way through that. Then. That was fun. That's a fun ride because as you're going through that one, you get to the parts where, like, if you're binge watching it or watching one a day or something, you get to the episodes that coincide with whatever movie that was coming out.
Right.
And it's just a brief nod to it or something, but you're like, oh, I know where they are now.
Well, yeah, because it was funny how that all changed. Like, the whole tone of that show changed after Winter Soldier came out.
Yeah.
Because, which I thought was really cool because, you know, it really impacted that show going forward, because obviously S.H.I.E.L.D. was dramatically different after the events of Winter Soldier.
Right.
So, yeah, it was cool how they did that. But like I said, I fell off of that show. It was never one of my favorites, but I'm sure I'll finish it up just because it's Marvel and I'm me. So I'll watch it.
And I'm me.
But I'm not in a huge, like, I'll get to it eventually, but it's not high on my list of things to watch.
All right. The last thing we have to do here, unless you have any other comments or scenes or something spectacular you wanted to talk about.
Well, it depends on what you're going to bring up now, I guess.
I was going to have you rank it, and I would tell you how you've ranked them so far.
What have we done? Yeah, tell me what I have ranked so far, because I've lost track.
So we've done 6 movies so far.
Uh-huh.
And in order from, we'll go 6 to 1 for you. You have Incredible Hulk, Thor Dark World, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man Far From Home, Guardians of the Galaxy, number 2, and Avengers Endgame at number 1. Where would you place
Captain
America?
It doesn't take over the top 3 for sure. I still have Endgame, Guardians, Spider-Man. To me, is it better than Captain Marvel? I guess that's what I'm trying to decide, because it might slot into number 4. Because it's definitely better than the Hulk. I like it more than Iron Man. I'm just not sure if I liked it more than Captain Marvel. I think I did. So I think it slides ahead of Captain Marvel for me.
Okay, so you put it at 4 and everything else drops to...
Yeah, because like, I don't think it cracks... I don't think it beats Spider-Man or Guardians for me, for sure. So it's got to be number 4. I had Iron Man behind Captain Marvel. I'm not sure if I feel that way.
All right. I was mistaken. We didn't do 6. We've done 7 movies, but you still drop it in the same spot.
I think I drop it in the same spot. But like I was thinking, I'm surprised that I had Captain Marvel above Iron Man, because I feel like I would change that.
You want to change that too?
I think so. Like, I think Iron Man comes right below Captain America. Captain Marvel would have to drop down.
Okay.
And still stay ahead of Dark World and the Hulk, though.
Okay, so your new order is, we have Incredible Hulk at 8, we have Dark World at 7, we have Captain Marvel at 6, Iron Man at 5, First Avenger at 4, Far From Home at 3, Guardians 2, and Endgame 1.
I stand by that.
So far. Okay, my list... I have Incredible Hulk at 7. I have Dark World at 6. I have Guardians at 5. Captain Marvel 4. Far From Home at 3. Iron Man 2 and Endgame 1. I think I'm dropping this pretty much exactly where you have it. I'm going to put it at 4.
At 4?
Yep.
So you have it right behind Iron Man.
Right behind Far From Home. I have Iron Man 2.
Iron Man at 2, okay.
Iron Man's above that.
So we both have 3 and 4 the same. Well, actually, we have 1, 3, and 4 the same, right?
1's the same, 3's the same, 4's the same.
And then 7 and 8 are the same. But we flip, like, it's funny how I have Guardians at 2 and you have it all the way down at 6.
Yeah.
So we have a big swing. We have a big swing on that one.
Yeah. And what's funny is it's going to become even bigger because
mine's going to stay at 2 and yours is going to keep dropping.
Right. So exactly.
It's going to end up at like number 17 for you. And then
I don't know if it'll go that low.
Yeah.
There's some other movie, you know, but yeah, I mean, and that's what I was saying the other day is like, I'm looking at this list. I'm like, we've only done 8 movies. So many movies to go. And it's funny. We're like, oh, what do you want to do this week? You're like, well, we just did a Marvel. We just did it. So we don't do them all the time.
No, because, I mean, hell, we could do it for the next half a year and never do anything else. But
yeah, well, that's no fun.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. We don't want to do that. So.
So what did you want to, which Marvel movie did you want to do next then? Because you talked about that. You teased it a little bit last week. Do you want to go that order?
Well, do you wanna do I think we should look at the order and see how it affects the eight movies we've already watched. Because obviously I don't want to watch and do those eight movies again.
Right.
So it just depends on how that list would affect what we've already done. And otherwise, I think, I mean, we've done, I mean, we did Dark World already, but we haven't actually done Thor. you know, and then we haven't done the first Avengers movie.
Do you remember why?
Well, I know.
Do you know what episode it was?
I know we talked about Dark World because it was like one of the first ones we did. Because
the second episode.
Yeah, because it was one of the movies that was regarded as being bad.
And we were trying to bring the bright side.
Right, we were trying to bring it up. Because there's no way we would have picked that at the time now to do before we did the other one. Like, right. That would have been way down on the list of Marvel movies.
We were challenging ourselves out of the gate.
Right, right.
So. Do you remember what our first episode was?
Wasn't it the DCEU?
No. Our first ever episode?
Solo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Solo.
I was trying to remember. Because I know we did like the DCEU.
No, those were the first episodes that never aired.
Well, no. Yeah, I know they didn't air, but...
Right, right.
Like, those were still the first ones that we did.
Those were the ones. Because we've since had conversations like, didn't we talk about this?
But that wasn't that the
multiple
first one?
Times.
I think that was actually the first one that we did. Was the DCEU one.
We sat down to talk about every single DCEU movie. Yeah, that's not a small task.
Yeah, it was rough. I think we had some good points in there, though, but they're never gonna hear the light of day now. So,
well, they will just when we do each individual movie.
Yeah,
between stage fright and not knowing.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh yeah, good times. All right, is that all you got?
I think so.
Anything else?
I don't think so. I think we covered most of it.
Well, that's it for this week then. Let us know what you think of any of the MCU movies, because that's pretty much what we do when we talk about MCU. How do you say it? AMCU?
AMCU, right?
AMCU movie. Yeah, hit us up on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. At some reason, I got the giggles tonight. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And, please go on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, if you're not, go to iTunes.
Get there.
Get there and, rate, review, and subscribe. A nice 5-star rating would be great for us, and a little review. That'd be nice. And, hey, John, what do we got coming up this week?
We have got, Batman 92.
Nice. I like that you have it. You're ready to go.
I am ready to go this week. We have Faithless 2, issue number 1, and then we have the Joker 80th anniversary special. Those will be the big releases.
Batman number 92. That's finally. I mean, that's like I said the other day. I don't know. What was it? When that's over, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know.
Because that's been since the pandemic happened. It's been like when Batman, that's the marker. Everybody was like, when Batman 92 comes out, when Batman 92. I think even Marvel's wondering when Batman 92 comes out.
Yeah, right.
Do we have any decent Marvel books coming out next week?
I don't have that handy.
I didn't know. You don't have to look it up.
I didn't know if you knew.
Because I know they're going every other week. And
yeah, there's some.
Next week there
I know
be
they've
some
got
books.
Some releases, but none of them stood out as being like big marquee books. So
what's up with X-Men?
Oh, God knows. I don't know. I haven't seen anything as far as any of those books coming back.
Are they coming back? Or
I'm sure they will, but I haven't seen when they're coming.
Because I got to be honest, I'm not really missing it.
No.
I appreciated the break from the white pages.
Right. Me too.
That's it for this week. We will be back on Thursday with, I don't know what we're going to be reading this week. Definitely Batman 92, obviously, and maybe more. Who knows? Have a great week. See you on Thursday.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Let us know on Twitter.
I don't know.
There you go, banging on the desk.
That was the
ba-da-ba-boom. That was my, yeah, I was putting my phone down. I threw my phone down. But I knew you could edit that out.
I know.
I actually didn't think about it at all. I just put my phone down.
Oh, okay. Now I can't. Now I'm laughing. Got the giggles. Here we go. Another one of those nights.
Yep.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter, @brightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to The Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.